Okay, well, good afternoon, technically. It's 12:01 on, gosh, what day is it? 12:02 on December the 18th, a Thursday, the week before Christmas. And yeah, I waited. I shouldn't be walking. I'm going to walk back into a buzzsaw when I get back. But after a couple of days of not walking, it's 40 degrees. It's a little chilly, but it's not as cold as it was. When I got up, it was 15. So sun's come up. It's warmed things up a little bit. I started out in the morning. So yeah, morning walk, close enough. Anyway, I'm getting cranky from not walking. So getting out, getting moving was definitely on the agenda for the day. I've marked up almost 200 pages out of the 600 in owner share. I'll get some more in this afternoon. But yeah, it's going along. It's going along well. Take it one day at a time. And try to stay in the day, try to stay positive, try to stay upbeat. It's a little bit difficult. I'm living in a pool of angst. But school's over. The last of the finals have been taken care of. The elder daughter is still looking for a job. The younger daughter has not quite gotten up yet. So, and my wife's meds are being adjusted again, so she's not having a good day. But I'm still moving, I'm still walking, I'm still talking. It's been cold, it's been so cold. The temperature hasn't really, yeah, it's been 16, 17. It'll warm up to 35 or 40 during the day. But there's something, I don't know, it's the moisture in the air or what, but that 16 degrees feels awful cold. 30 degrees feels awful cold. Today's just a little chilly, it's not bad. But it's 40 degrees, probably 42 now. And it's not overcast, so there's sun. I can step into the sun every once in a while and not get warmed up. So yeah, I knew I was getting cranky. I was reading a post about Russell Blank's Russell Blake's Sky is Falling post about how, oh no, the bigs are now pricing books down at $2.99. Dude, wake up, they've been doing that for a year. It's still just loss leaders, it's still just promotional items, it's onesie-twosie things. They're not putting a whole catalog down there. And most of what I've seen so far has been kind of dumb. You don't put a single book at a wonderful sale price of $2.99, and then not have the follow-on books even available. I mean, it's a nice way to try to lift a bit. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, oh no, the sky is falling. And my response is, really? Again? The sky's falling again. We're all gonna have to get day jobs. Again. Kindle Unlimited is killing my sales. Again. 2 years ago it was Kindle Online Lending Library. Now it's Kindle United. No. The problem I think comes from people who have a book for sale. A book. And they're following the Jesse Hutchins approach, which is write a book and then market it for 10 years. I give him props because he's moved on to do some other things now. But yeah, when you look at the history of Seventh Son, he had a huge following. He had a huge, huge following. And his problem was that he wanted mainstream press. And he got a mainstream press, and then they killed his contract without publishing the last two books. He wound up doing those himself, I guess. And in the meantime, Now, this is 2007 when I started, and he had the first of the trilogy, because Seven Son was actually one book that he broke into three, because it was so long. And by the time he finished the second book, I had three books out. By the time he finished the third book, I think I had five books out. And he's been trying to promote Seven Son, or Dark Arts, his only other really significant novel-length publication. And he's sort of gone away. He's let his fan base wither. He's, depending on who you ask, let them become alienated to a certain extent. If he'd written another book and published it, and written another book and published it, rather than trying to sell Seventh Son over and over and over and over and over again for years, then I don't know, we don't worry, he might be Hugh Howey. He's done some things, he's done some good stuff. I'm not crapping on J.C. Hutchins. I have the utmost respect for the man and his marketing and his trailblazing. Without him, I probably wouldn't have really begun to think about doing it myself. And he's offered me some really, really, really good insight along the way. The most important of which being, figure out what you want from your writing. And he did. He figured out what he wanted from his writing, and then it was an audacious dream, and he actually saw part of it. He got a St. Martin's contract. And he sold a good number of books. But it wasn't enough, because St. Martin's, back in the day, didn't know how to sell books to readers. They could only sell books to bookstores, and bookstores really weren't that taken with it. That's been the problem all along. So it takes me back to Russell Blake and his, oh, the sky is falling because mainstream press is now publishing books and selling them for $2.99. Think, well, yeah, okay, fine. I'm not competing with mainstream press. That's one of the things. If all you think about indie books are they need editing and they're cheap, then you're missing a lot, because there are a lot of stories out there that the mainstream press can't touch because they can't sell enough copies. It's ultra niche. It's like I've got, oh, it's someplace between 25 and 50,000 fans. That's, in mainstream press numbers, that's nothing. That's like, oh yeah, it's a good Thursday. Actually, that's best times, New York Times best-selling numbers if you sold them all in a week, but, and sold them all in the right place, and sold them all with the right bribes in the right places. That's New York Times best-selling numbers. The problem is that it doesn't usually hold up that well. And so many of the New York Times bestsellers can't quit their day job because, in spite of the fact that they're New York Times bestsellers, they can't sell enough books to make a living. So there's that issue. But yeah, I don't compete with mainstream. It's a different market segment. There's a lot of people who will not read anything except mainstream press. Okay, fine. You're not my audience. I can live with that. I'm actually good with that. There are a lot of people who will only read a book that's $2.99 or less. Okay, you're not my audience. I'm fine with that. I'm okay. I can do that. Although I would be remiss if I didn't mention Stars and Empire 2, an anthology box set where quarter share is now 99 cents, along with 9 others. All for just 99 cents. A little plug. I do so few. But yeah, you can buy quarter share and 9 other space opera first books for just 99 cents. Stars and Empire 2. Wherever you buy ebooks. But yeah, I mean, failing to understand what the market is and how it works is what creates all of these clickbait FUD posts. Now, I got nothing against Blake either. Blake has done a really good job at cranking out the work turning out titles. And with that many titles, you're going to do pretty well, particularly if you keep pushing them out, which is why next year I really need to push out some titles. Monk post. I don't think I'm going to break 6 figures this year in book sales. Oh no, Kindle Unlimited is killing my book sales. No, it's not. Bite me. What's killing my book sales? I didn't put out any books this year. Well, I put out some books, but they weren't new books, and they weren't the books people were looking for. They were the books I had on my list that had to get published, except for Hermit of Lumswood. I published that in January. And everything else that I've done in the last, pretty much almost the last 2 years, is republish stuff that was published, or format and publish stuff in formats that it wasn't available for. I still have 2 books I have to read out loud. Shoot. And I really want to get that done, too, because I love those books. I want to have them on audiobooks. I want to have them collecting audience. Morning. So yeah, it's warmed up. I'm working up a sweat. I'm also pumping it along, so I've got I'm trying to get back because I'm hungry. I had breakfast. I think I had breakfast. I'm pretty sure I had breakfast. Did I have breakfast? Maybe I didn't. That may be why I'm so hungry. Maybe I didn't. That's kind of dumb. I'm trying to think. I didn't make a bagel this morning. I did sleep in a little bit. It was 6:30, 7:15 before I got up because I didn't have an alarm. I didn't have to get up for anything. I didn't have to take the kids to school. It was pretty low key. So yeah, maybe I just got coffee and sat there on my desk. I forgot all about breakfast. No wonder I'm hungry. Holy crap. Oh, what'll I fix? I guess it depends on who's up and who's about. Kids were making noises around 11, like they were getting up, but I didn't see any of them, either of them. We had a fast food celebration last night for the end of the school year for younger daughter. She's pretty sure she's passed all of her courses, barring a last minute flunkage. And whenever I say that, I always think back to when I was in University of Buffalo getting my bachelor's in business admin. And I had a class that I was acing. I had like every extra credit point there was, had all of the points, all of them, and an A going in. I knew this subject cold. Got to the final. I ripped through the final. Went through, checked all the work, turned it in. And I was like a half an hour ahead of everybody. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell? And as time went on, I was like, what the hell? Turns out there were 2 pages of my exam that were stuck together. I never even saw them. I didn't see them on the first pass. I didn't see them on the second pass. Pages were stuck together. And I flunked the final. Because there was a lot of questions on those 2 pages that I never saw, so I couldn't answer. And the teacher was like, what the hell happened? And it's like, I don't know. And And the answer was that there were 2 pages, face-to-face pages, that I didn't answer any questions on. And the answer was, of course, that I didn't see them. So, yeah, I flunked the final. I still had enough points to pass the class, but it wasn't the high A I was looking for. I think I squeaked by with a low B. It was kind of a pain. But yeah, whenever I think of flunked the final, that's what I think about. It's like, oh yeah, shit. So let's see what else. I was reading a space opera and I was really excited about it. I was going to promote it to the wider group. the Galaxy Ranges group on Wednesday. I was going to pimp it out because it was a pretty good book. It had some flaws in it, but it's still a pretty passable indie space opera. I was quite pleased with it until I got to the last chapter, and the last chapter was a cliffhanger. There was no ending. And there was no ending per se. There was no end to the book, and then, you know, okay, we'll tag on an afterwards with a cliffhanger ending. It didn't end. It wasn't there. It didn't happen. And I get to the end of the book, and it's like, no, I'm not following you down the path. I'm not going there. Jamie Clark. It just pissed me off so bad. I couldn't follow the path. I couldn't go to, I wasn't gonna, you know, it's like, yeah, it's a cheap book. It's like $2.99. I'll go $5.99 if I like the book. If the next book had been $5.99 and she hadn't given me a cliffhanger, I probably would have bought it. This cliffhanger ending crap is just crazy. And present tense. You know, I've read a couple of books. In fact, I think that was one of them. Oh, I know what it was called. It was called Star Thief. And, is that the one? I think so. I think so, anyway. I think it was present tense. I've read one or two that were present tense, and I got about the third page before I realized it was present tense. And I thought, well, okay, you push me past a couple of pages. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what I can do. And some of them have been pretty good. One or two of them. Most of them popped me out in the first paragraph. So if you get me that close to the front and make me realize it's first person, I'm probably not going to read it any further. It's just the way I am. I'm wired. I don't like it. My daughter's writing a first person. The story's okay. But there's nothing that the first person is bringing to the story. There's nothing that is being brought to the story because it is first person present tense. I keep saying first person and I mean present tense because I write first person all the time, but I write first person past. Anyway. And yeah, I know there are people who don't like first person at all. Anyway. At any way, anytime, anywhere. Okay, fine. I can't tell Ishmael Wong, or Ishmael Wong can't tell his story in any way other than first person. So Ishmael Wong will continue to be first person. I think the rest of my books will probably go third. I think the Smugglers series will probably go third person. I haven't quite figured out where to start with that yet. And of course the next Charmin Tale, Cape Grace, will be third. Because there's no character that I want to invest first person in that series. I want the ambiguity of the third person. There's a certain level of ambiguity that I can pull off in third person. I'm probably kidding myself. I'm probably wrong. I probably could do it just as well if I did it from Otto's point of view, but I didn't, and I'm not going to, so there. It's my story. I get to tell it how I want. But I am at the back gate. I made it. Let's see. 1855 on the file. Probably a little more when I get done punching buttons. But I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.